Thank you, Brother Nick, for the warm welcome. And it's always a great joy to stand before CBC because this is the first church family who opened up for Banjara ministry in whole Tennessee, I should say. So we are so glad to partner with this church. And it was 2005 when Doug Matthews, one of the members here, he was a professor at the university. I think they changed the name, and he came to India on one of the mission teams. And he told me he was not supposed to go, but one of the leaders, E3 team leaders, fell sick, so he was asked to join the team, and that's how he happened to come. And God laid Banjara people on his heart, and he fell in love with the people, and we became friends in no time. And in 2006, God allowed me to travel to U.S. after almost a decade attempts. I mean, I attempted to come here several times, and in 2006, God allowed me to come, and that was the first time Doug Matthews invited me here, and I come to know CBC. And then Pastor Jim Fleming and the whole church embraced and started sending teams then onward, and not only in a mission team, but also training our leaders, training our pastors and church planters. And also, God has helped us to start a school. And so God also used CBC to train our teachers to teach the character building lessons exclusively prepared to teach our Alathea Banjara School students. And that is unique. And I can show you some letters written by few of our old students expressing how much that impact their lives. So maybe after the service or during our fellowship sometime, I'll be happy to show you. I can pull them from my phone and let you know. And, you know, this journey brought us to several good things. And I got so much to say, so it's hard to cut down. And, in India, nobody tells me how long I should speak. And Pastor Nick told me there will be a clock counting down. So, you know, that's very hard. But, you know, I'll just try to close on time. And if not, maybe we can bring the food in and keep eating and so talking. So, friends, by what God has started among Banjara, the ministry, and CBC is one of those pioneering churches helped us. And today, I just want to give you a few numbers. Today, we have 127 house churches. That means village churches. We are ministering in more than 250 villages. So when I say villages, Banjara villages are small. Somewhere from 50 families to 200 families live just themselves. They are just isolated. And I can send some information to Pastor Nick, and maybe you can share if you feel free to all the members, and you can read more about Banjara people, their culture, their beliefs, and that stuff. So we focus a village and we send missionaries. We call them missionaries because they are not from the same area, but we send from the same people group, and we plant churches. And right now, we have 38 men actively working among 250-plus villages. And out of them, 127 villages are having worship service every week, not necessarily on Sunday, because we don't have 127 men to do Sunday services in each village every day, every Sunday, so they meet on other days in the week. And school is doing beautiful, Of course, COVID affected the whole world, and it also affected us. So government has closed the school for a long time. So nearly 17, 18 months, there was no school. But you know what Aletheia did? And you people know Aletheia, what Aletheia means, right? Truth. So that's the true school, we believe. And when all the schools were closed, and some schools in cities and big towns had some online classes, but our school is in a very tiny, small village, countryside, and internet and smartphones are not available. Parents are illiterate, I mean, cannot read and write. So our teachers went to villages when the school was closed and helped them to continue their learning process. And that was a unique thing. Only, I believe, no other school had done in my part of the country, but our school went, and community has really appreciated so much for what we did. And now school is reopened, and a little bit more than a month, from September 6th, we opened our school, and again for 12 days. In October, it was closed for a holiday festival there. So again, school is open, and now slowly students start coming. So, and our teachers are doing well, and COVID had not hit anybody. I mean, we did not lose anyone due to COVID, and we praise God for that. So all our teachers, all our students, all our missionaries, all our believers, everybody is doing safe, and we thank you for your prayers. And today, I want to share a few things which just God has laid on my heart. You all know what God is leading us through. And last 3 years, almost, have been most difficult years in our lives. But God is so great. God is so good. And He is helping us to cope up with the things and leading us to keep on going, doing the work what He has given us to do. And you are aware that I think 4 years ago in 2017, when I brought my children to drop at French Camp Academy, they were here. And they participated here, and they worshipped with all of you. And we had a wonderful time. But you know, when God does something, we may not understand then, but He makes us to understand later, and we come to know that everything He allows and He does is always good for us. And that brings glory to Him and blessings to us and people around us. So we miss our children so much, and that's very painful. But, you know, God is using Sujata and me to strengthen, to encourage people in India and in the U.S. and everywhere we go. So that's the blessing we see. And this morning, I want you to see one person's life. And I believe you are very familiar with him. And that is Job. See, when I heard about the tragedy, Pastor Nick called me. And on 23rd night, I think that was my 24th, December 24th, 2018, and we were about to go on a Christmas celebration in another town, and I had a call from Pastor Nick saying, your three children and the host mother have gone to be with the Lord. They are not here. So these were the words I heard from him. Just one and a half hour before the incident has happened. So Central Time, I think 23rd night, about 9:30 time, we had phone calls, video calls with Aaron and Sharon. We couldn't talk to Joy. It's not that we did not, but we thought, okay, we got plenty of time. The rest of the 2 weeks, we can talk to them, and we had other things to do, so we spoke to two of them. And they were so happy, enjoying their stay. A month before, for Thanksgiving, they stayed with Kudres, and they enjoyed, and both families loved each other. I mean, they loved our kids, and our kids loved them, and they really loved to stay there. And when I heard Pastor Nick say that, I didn't know how to express that and how to tell, because my wife was just standing before me, and I felt like I should not tell her the whole truth because she would collapse. We needed to travel to U.S., so I did not tell her whole story. But he told me already that our kids have gone to be with the Lord. So while coming to U.S., in our flight, I was talking and doing my best to prepare her to hear the fact. So during that time, God really laid on my heart two people. One was Joseph, and second one was Job. So I kept sharing with Sujata about Joseph, saying, you know, we are going through a difficult time. I did not tell her that our children died, but I told her that the house was at fire. They are unconscious. They are not responding. Doctor said they can't do anything. You understand what I was trying to tell her. So not giving any hope, but not telling her the full fact. But she was still assuming that they are alive and God could do miracles. And she was praying that, Lord, you protected Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and you could do that even today. So please save my children. When she prays that prayer, I can't tell you how much pain I was having. But as I was sharing her about Joseph, to look forward for greater things. See, when we go through some difficult times like this, we always should remember the God's saints he kept us for us to refer to. And that day, Joseph's life encouraged me, and I believe encouraged my wife. Then she had some a kind of vision. God was just preparing her, and she, on the aeroplane, she saw they were calling her and talking to her on phone, what she saw. And when she asked them, we heard that you had a fire accident, but our children are speaking, and they were saying, no, that was nothing, did not hurt us anyway, but we had, you know, some aunties and uncles brought us so many gifts, and so many, we can't even count them how many. And she was asking, what do you have in them? They said, we did not open, we have not seen them, but there are plenty. So that was something God was preparing her. And we came here after landing in Memphis, then we told her the fact. And of course, that was very hard for her and us, but God helped us to understand. And especially God speaking to Sujata and helping her to accept and cope up with the pain is the greatest miracle. We read several stories in the Bible. We read about the miracles. So God healing a crippled man walking, or a dead man coming to life. Today, Sujata and I, just being like this itself is a great miracle. It's the act of God. Otherwise, we would have not been able to be like this. It's not us. It's not our strength. It's only God's. Amen. And we see at least three reasons how we are able to be keep going on. We see one, God's grace. Without his grace, no, it is not possible. Number two, the prayers of the saints. You know, people who knew us, even who did not know us, whoever heard about the incident, they prayed. I really thank for, of course, many American churches who knew and were around this part. I believe they all prayed. But the Indian church community extended their prayers. And I'm meeting people, and I go and see several new families, and they say, "Brother, we prayed for you. We even fasted and prayed for you to give strength to go through this." So that is the beauty of the church, church family, and God has already put us around the such prayer warriors and saints so that we could get strength when we need it. So we are thankful to God. The third thing we see, there are several I can tell, but third thing is we know all our three children were saved. So we have no doubt. We have no doubt of their salvation. They are with the Lord and that they are in heaven. So there is no doubt about it. That and that assurance really helping us to cope up. It's only what do you call a short distance. So we will be meeting them again and going to spend the eternity. So that helps us to do more work for the Lord and meet them again and spend the eternity. So here I thank the church family, and also I thank Brother Danny and all Kudres and for their love. And they were most happiest moments they have gone through just that week and before. So they enjoyed their stay, and they really, so I want to extend my thanks to your family for loving them and taking such care. So when we look at Job, when we look at the book of Job, God is teaching me, my wife, and our family there in India to understand many things. So I want you to remind four things at least from this book. I'm not going to preach you from whole book, but I will only remind you four points to note from the life or the book of Job. Number one, the book of Job, our story of Job, tells us that God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God is the ultimate owner and author of all lives and happenings. So that helps us to cope up with the pain. So many times people ask us, how are you able to handle this? You know, I already told you, it's not we, it's not I who handle this, but God is helping us. Without that, we could not. We'd have broken, we don't know what would have happened. If we had not known Jesus, we would have not been even alive, I believe. But God is sovereign, and his grace enables us to do this. So what I want you to see in Job, the book of Job, if you look at verses 20 to 22, or 20, so when he heard about what has happened to his children, you know, I believe you are familiar with the story of Job, and I don't have to tell you, right? So Job was blessed with 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he was the richest man in that country. And he was elevated and so high socially, well respected. But, you know, in just a span of an hour, he was hearing. So some servant come, one of the servants comes and shares, "Sir, your cattle were driven by some Chaldeans, what do you call them, Chaldees, Chaldeans." So don't worry about my English. So some enemies have driven the cattle. Somebody else has killed his servants, and his crops were burnt. And another servant comes, "All your 10 children were having a meal at the oldest son's house, and the roof fell on them, and everybody died." So one tragedy after another, Job hears. And you know what he does after hearing all this? In verse 28, you can see, I'm reading from ESV. "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" So, this is what we have to understand. This is what we have to understand, the fact that when we came alone. We came empty-handed. We came naked. And when we go, we might be going alone. But you know, when my children and sister Katie went, they went together. God, I think he was holding one side too and another side too and just going to heaven. But here Job says, "I don't own anything. Nothing belongs to me. I am brought here, and God has given me the family. God has given me the wealth. God has given me the honor. God has given me this position, and he has taken it." So the one who gave also has authority, power to take. So that's what Job understood. So what we understand here, we can see that, see, at least three things we can see about sovereignty of God here. Number one, he says, it is God who gives, and it is God who takes. It is God who gives, and it is God who takes. Whether it is children, job, wealth, health, family, anything you can put there. So it is God who gives, and it's God who takes. The second thing he says, God ordains all the prosperity. So first thing he's talking about his children. Okay, I came alone. I came with the empty hands. God blessed me with my children, and he has given, and he has taken. Second thing we can understand, because he was a richest man in the whole country or in the countries in the east of his days. And he's saying, it is God who gives prosperity, who blesses you with wealth or health or anything. And again, the same God can allow calamity in your life. So recognize that. So many times, being Christians, we praise God for good things, but immediately we blame somebody or we think something else for the calamity. But Job says, it is God who prospered me and He, the same one, same God, allowed the calamity in our lives. We can see that in Job 2:10. So there, Job's wife, I have great respect for Job's wife, because many times people think she was not a believer. I don't think so. She was very much a believer, but she might be just depressed and upset and could not understand God's plan. And maybe for that moment, she was so disappointed and distressed and sad. And one man said, I don't know how, I'm not going to touch the theology part here. So one man said, maybe she said those words, what she said, for the sake of her husband. Because if you look at Job sitting on the ground in the ashes, all shaved and with all the, what do you call those, boils and, so he was looking so ugly, and just a day before, he was like a royal. He was like a king. He was so noble. People used to honor him, respect him. And now his situation, his condition is so pitiful. So some people think Job's wife, Mrs. Job, might have thought, if he curses God, God might kill him so that he would get rid of this pain. So that's what they say. And I have no argument there, but she could be right there. But Job says to his counseling his wife, he's helping his wife to understand, Mrs. Job, don't speak like a foolish woman speak. See, we have enjoyed, enjoyed all the wealth and the joy of having children and all these years, and you are happy with that. Now God has allowed us to go through some suffering, difficult time, loss of children. Well, are we not eligible? Don't we deserve to take this? So he's helping his wife to understand this. And we need to understand the same thing. So even the calamities do not come to us without the permission of our sovereign God. And God is helping us to understand that. And that helps to take care of a lot of things. Job, the book of Job also tells us that God is above than Satan. And even Satan has to take permission from God to touch you. And if we don't read Job, we would not understand that fact. And sometimes we make Satan hero. We make Satan very powerful. No. So even Satan cannot touch you, cannot come do any harm to you without the God's permission. And only he can do as much as God has allowed him the power or permission. So this is to know that God is sovereign. The second fact I want you to learn here is book of Job brings a question. Why these things happen? Why righteous suffer? Why Job had to go such a painful time? And the same question we went through and going through. People think and ask us, sir, you are nice people. You are ministering your people. You are serving God. You are doing good to many. Then why this has happened to you? And many think it could be the result of your sin or something wrong you do or some curse on that. In India especially, that's a lot of stuff go around that. But you know, book of Job also poses that question, why this has happened. And Job was also trying to know why this is happening. And when you look at Job, his friends visiting him, trying to comfort him. And in the fourth chapter, in Job 4, this is really, this helped me, my wife, that how people speak to you. The close friends, the dearest friends, they came to help you, to comfort you. But what they are saying here, you know, the moment they opened their mouth, I think for 1 week, they were silent, did not speak a word. Until then, Job might have felt some comfort having his friend's presence. But the moment they start speaking, I think the pain, what caused by the words these friends said, would have been more than what Job was going through. See, you can see there, if you read from 6, 7, 8 verses, is not your fear of God your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember, who that was innocent ever perished? Did any innocent person ever perished? They were asking. And they are also indirectly saying, as I have seen, where were the upright cut off? As I have seen, those who plow in iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Job, you are going through lot of pain. You are going through loss of your children. You are going to all this pitiful thing. You know what? We see it as the result of what you have sown. If you have not done any wrong, why this would happen? This was the friend's perspective. This was their question to Job. Actually, they were blaming Job directly, saying, what you are going through is the result of what you did. That's, I think, the spears might have went in the heart of Job when he heard this. And later, you see Job trying to respond, oh, you know, I did not do anything wrong to result like something like this. And I don't know why this has happened. But Job had a question, even for himself, why this has happened. Many times, we too go through this. We don't understand why our infants die, why innocent people die, or why we suffer, why we lose our beloveds. But one thing is true. If you remember, God is sovereign. He is watching. He knows what he is doing. Not knowing the answer for why is still fine. Don't worry if you did not know the answer. Why God has done this, or why God is doing this, why this is happening in your life. So let me go to the third point. Here is why or what the book of Job, the story of Job, teaches us. Number third point, in this verses what we just read tells us, though Job was not aware of why this has happened, but you know, we are privileged to know what was happening behind the screen. Behind the screen, in heaven, in heavenly realm, God and Satan were having conversations, and there, because of that, resulted the suffering and loss in the life of Job. But Job had no clue about that. Job was not aware. We, because you have the Bible in your hand, and I have the Bible in my hand, in my own language, because I read what has happened behind the screens, so you and I understand why it is happening. But poor Job had no clue. That itself tells us that he was not facing this because of his sin, but God himself testifies about Job in the first chapter itself, in chapter 1, verse 1 and 8, you can see Job was the righteous man. Righteous in sense, humanly speaking, he says, God, or the author of the Job says in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, and whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. So this is the testimony about Job. And in verse 8, God himself says the same words. In verse 8 says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? So what we understand from the book of Job, from the life of Job, is even righteous suffer. Even righteous go through indescribable issues. Righteous go through pain. Righteous suffer the loss of their beloveds, even the young children. So this is what comforts you, helps you when you go through situations, painful situations. So here, God helps us to understand many things. But when God helps us to know, even righteous can suffer, it comforts us. Comforts us at least in three ways. Number one, what we understand is righteous suffer. And the second fact, when we suffer afterwards, when God allows suffering, what he does is he helps you to know God more. A suffering saint comes closer to God. Job had done that. Let's look at the 42nd chapter, the last chapter in Job, verse 5. Verse 5, there Job is speaking to God. And now he says something. Remember, God did not tell Job why he was suffering. But Job was blessed with this knowledge. He says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Now, Lord, all this time, I was just being my best Christian life. But what I knew before this incident, my knowledge about you was little. But now, not only what I heard, but now I see you. Because God appeared to Job in a whirlwind. For you and me, God may not appear like God appeared to Job. But for sure, I can testify. What I knew about God before 23rd December 2018 and what he is revealing me today, I'm knowing God more. I'm experiencing God more and I am growing in his wisdom and knowledge and knowing him more. So God is helping me, my family, and I believe he will help you all. If you just look unto God, if you understand that God is sovereign and he is above all, nothing happens in your life without his knowledge and without his permission, then you will understand, you will come closer to God, you will grow in the knowledge of God more and more. This is one blessing. Another blessing we can see by going through suffering is, see, we all see that Job suffered, but he was restored. Job suffered, he suffered the loss. Then if you read the 42nd chapter, the end of it, you will see that he was restored with all double blessings. So whatever the oxen he had, that was doubled. Whatever the camels he had, that was doubled. Whatever the donkeys he had, that was doubled. And again he was given 10 more children. And the girls given later were more beautiful than the girls were God gave them earlier. So that tells that God is not going to leave you in the state you are in, and God doesn't want you to suffer forever. So God is going to restore you. God is going to bring comfort in your life. God is going to give you more. And of course, we are not planning to have any biological children. And some suggested us, some friends, well-wishers advised us to do that. But you know, my wife and I, we took so long time, and we both don't have any desire of having of our biological children. But he's just prompting us both to serve him as much as we could. So maybe not only in a church planting among Banjara, but going to other churches and families and encourage people, those who are going through this painful situation. So God is using us. If that is what he wants us to be doing, we are more than happy to do. And we are not, I believe we are not going to regret for not having biological children. So that's what God is helping us. So the next point, what we understand from Job, the fourth point. Job suffered a lot, and we think Job was the person who suffered the most. But if we look at someone else, our Lord Jesus, he suffered more than Job did. So we have a Savior. We have a Savior who suffered more than anybody. If I think, oh, I'm going through the most painful situation, Jesus would stand before me, son, I have gone through the pain you are going through more than what you experience. So he comforts. So when we know that God, who himself became man and suffered for my sin and in my place, so that also helps us to go through all this. So my brethren, I want you to be encouraged and always try to glorify God in everything what he allows. After all, we are all created for him, by him, through him, and for what?
for his glory.
Isaiah 43:7. If you could look at that verse, that encourages, and that verse tells us, so we are all created for his glory. So, and Paul says in Corinthians, okay, let's read Isaiah 43:7. I'm reading from 6 and 7. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So you and me are created by God of Job and God of this Bible, and he has created us for his glory. Amen. Not for your pleasure. Of course, when we understand and live for his glory, you always enjoy this life. Yes. And at the end, before I close, I want you to see another verse along with me. 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1st Epistle to Corinthians 10:31. This has been our theme verse since 2009, when Pastor Jim came to India to do a youth, a young adults conference, and he taught us on one subject: don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. That was the theme of the conference. And here you see verse 31. 10:31. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, anything you do, whether you work, whether you serve, whether you have a business or a job, whether it is your own business, you work for someone, whatever the work, profession, vocation you take, Paul is saying, do it for the glory of God. Amen. And that is the purpose, the very purpose of our lives. So, of course, in this journey, we go through so much difficult, painful situations. But at the same time, they are joyful, happy moments also. So let us not focus on the negative side, but let us focus on the positive side and keep going on and glorifying God at your best. Thank you so much. And I request Pastor Nick to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Amen. Amen, brother. If you appreciate that, would you just let me know by saying amen?
Amen.
Great for our souls. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing to the Lord and have a time of, we've heard the word.
That's a great opportunity to actually sing back to the Lord. And let me just say this. You're hearing this message from a brother who knows what it's like for God to meet him in the midst of the most trying of circumstances. And so God's word is sufficient enough just in of itself to speak to our souls.
Yes.
But even so much more, we see God's word lived out in life. And so my hope is this. Some of us have come in here loaded down, wondering, is God against us because we have pain in our life? We've lost. If you haven't experienced pain in your life, you just have not lived long enough. You live long enough, you'll experience it. And let me tell you, what this man has told us this morning, we needed this for our souls, didn't we? And we needed this. Can I pray over our time for the rest of our time? Listen, we're not done yet. We're going to sing to the Lord, and then we're going to have more time for Srinivas to interact with us. Then even God's people need to hear from God's people as well. Like, what has God done? We need to hear this. So we're going to eat together, fellowship, take communion. Would you pray? Father, thank you so much. What a glorious message you've given my soul this morning from the life of Job and just the application from the life of Srinivas and Sujatha. And Lord, we're forever touched by this. We'll never forget. But I'm so thankful that you are sovereign and control, and that all things that happen, you mean to bring glory to your name and good into our life. We still persist and don't have to call a situation good, but we can, in the scriptures, still call you good.
Yes.
And when we can't, as Spurgeon said, when we can't trace your hand, we trust your heart. And we do that. We see it in the life of Job. We see it in the life of what's happened in Srinivas and Sujatha and the Kudre's life. And then even us in this congregation, we have been touched with the worst of things, many of us, that could happen to humanity. And you're still on the throne. And the cross is our justification for knowing that you're for us. Thank you. At 16, you brought the glorious truth of the gospel into my life. I don't know how I would have taken another step forward without knowing your Lord and King. Thank you that you've done the same for Srinivas and Sujatha. Thank you that your glory has been manifest to the nations through this. We trust you. We lean on you. We hurt, but we also glory in you. And we'll do more of that as we continue today. Bless our time of singing. May what we sing be something from our souls to you. And then as we have time to edify and take communion, bless the rest of our time. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.